Good morning. It's good to see each of you out here today. I'd like you to take out your Bibles and turn over to the 24th chapter of Joshua. I ask that everybody get those Bibles out and turn over to the 24th chapter of Joshua. Growing up in my house, I was always raised a Dallas Cowboys fan. And if any of you know me at all, you know that I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. I learned very quickly that in my parents' house, you did not cheer for two teams. You didn't cheer for the Broncos or the 49ers. That's just a no-no. You didn't cheer for them. Kayla, Marshall, and I would jokingly cheer for those teams at times and just get evil glares from my parents. The same went for different athletes that my parents didn't like, such as Brett Favre or John Elway. You just don't cheer for those athletes as well. Thinking back to my childhood, the Broncos or the 49ers never did anything to me personally. But it was more because I just followed what my parents had told me to do. You see, parents affect kids more than you might think. Every decision and choice that parents make, your kids are watching. Kids will remember how you acted when they are put in the same situation, growing up with the same tendencies. In my life, I saw how my parents did not like the Broncos or the 49ers, so I didn't cheer for them either. I looked up to my parents so much when I was little, and I followed their footsteps. Think about how big of an impact your parents had on your childhood, or maybe how big of an impact you as a parent today are having on your kid. Today, I'm not going to talk about how to parent at all. I have no experience in that field, and I would feel completely out of place if I were talking to you about how to parent. But I want you to think that how big of an impact parents have on their kids. The lasting effects that you as a parent, the effects that you will have on your kids' lives. When your kids are young, why do you teach kids when they're young? Because they're able to absorb and take so much more information in when they are young. They don't really know the difference between right and wrong yet. And then basic habits are formed when they're young. That is why it's so important to teach kids routines that you want them to follow and that they will continue when they're older. If you're over in Joshua chapter 14, I should have been there myself. Joshua 24, starting in verse 14. Joshua 24, verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. For those of you that have been over to my house, you will have seen this verse on two different pictures in my house. My parents always wanted reminders up in my house that this family, we were going to serve the Lord. That was something my parents made so clear to me and my siblings that ever since I can remember, such young age that no matter what, you were going to go to church and you were going to serve the Lord. It was never an option. It was never talked about by them if we were going to go tonight. It was just known that you're going to go to church every opportunity you have to, no matter what. And that is something that has stuck with me today, that no matter what comes up in my life, I better be at church. My parents have engraved this in my mind ever since I was a youngin', and today it makes their life so much easier knowing that their children want to and will go to church, that this house will be serving the Lord. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing them from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Very subtle, but do you notice how it says that they had known from their childhood? Start training up kids when they are young, because it's so much easier to teach a child when they are young than when they are older and they already have their own opinions formed on things. It's made my parents' life so much easier. Look over in Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, in a very common verse in verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Everything seemed so clear to me when I was younger, but of course everything is going to seem right in my own mind. That is why I'm thankful that I had parents in my life to talk me out of anything that I shouldn't have been doing. At the time, I thought my parents were senseless. I mean, what difference does it make if I stay up like 15 minutes later? I mean, come on, I want to watch my TV show. But now, later on in life, I'm able to see the method to their madness. Because I see that when PJ doesn't get enough sleep, PJ gets really angry. And so my parents knew that, and they're like, hey, get to bed. We know what you're like in the morning. And, I mean, it all makes sense now. Maybe after all this time, they did know what they were doing. And then later on in life, some parents maybe get angry with their kids once they hit the teenager stage. They sometimes start rebelling. By teaching your kids the way that is right when they are younger, will help you out in life when they get older. You have to be able to set boundaries for your kids. It may sound weird, but as a kid, I liked boundaries. I liked to know how far I could go before I would get in trouble for doing anything. Boundaries were something that kept me in the zone, so I knew that I wasn't going to get in trouble when I got home in case I did something that might have been wrong to my parents. Look over in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near, when you say, I have no pleasure in them. It's one of the key things that he talks about in this chapter, is remembering the Creator in the days of your youth. Let's continue reading in verse 2. While the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim, when the doors are shut in the streets, and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of music are brought low. Also, they are afraid of height, and of terrors in the way, when the almond tree blossoms, and the grasshopper is a burden, and desire fails, for man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loose, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. The writer here is talking about growing old, and that you have to be able to remember the Creator in the days of your youth. Meaning, sure, go ahead and have fun while you're a kid, but just remember that you're going to be judged for all those things that you did when you were young, even in your youth. Parents, in this case, I see them as the X factor. When your kids are young, there's so many ways for us to fall into trouble. And parents cannot live your life for your children, although some try to do that. But something you can do is set limitations for your kids. By setting those limitations, they know what they can and cannot do. Doesn't mean they're always going to listen to them, but at least they know what they should and should not be doing. Look over in Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22 and in verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. You may not be able to live, you may not be able to make your children live their lives how you want them to, but you can still have a huge impact on their lives. The more you teach a child and keep them grounded in God's Word, the better off that they will be. Nothing is set in stone, but you should be trying your hardest to make sure that your own children are living in the path of God. It breaks my heart to think about it, but what if some parents were almost stumbling blocks to their own kids, hindering their spiritual growth, not giving children opportunities to come to church at every occasion, not allowing them to learn God's Word and grow? Why is it so important for some parents to realize how big of an impact you make in your kid's life? Have to be training up a child in the way that he should go. So as it says in this verse, when he is older, he will not depart from it. Switching gears a little bit to talk about discipline and correction of a child. I used to tell my mom that spanking me didn't help me at all, didn't help her at all, because no matter what, I was still going to do what I got in trouble for. So you can go ahead and spank me, but I'm still going to do it, Mom. But that was not true at all, because then she'd still spank me. When really, the next time I was debating on whether I should do what I had just gotten in trouble for, I would remember how much those spankings hurt. And I definitely did not do that wrong action again, most of the time. Discipline is something that is becoming a more sensitive and topic throughout America. How some people think that you should not be able to lay a hand on their own child and not be able to discipline them, when the Bible tells us the exact opposite of that. The Bible talks about it over in Hebrews chapter 12, where we had the scripture reading. Hebrews chapter 12. Going to reread this, starting in verse 3. Hebrews 12, verse 3. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us, as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. This passage right here is talking about how the Father, being God, chastens us, using the example of him being our Father to us, and us being his sons, brings up great points that can still be applied to parenting today. Verse 11 in this passage cannot be any truer. It was so painful to be beat into correction. I mean, sometimes I couldn't even sit down for dinner that night after my parents gave me a spanking. I would be that sore sometimes. I mean, nobody likes to be punished, and hopefully nobody enjoys whipping their kids into submission that much. Although one time I'm pretty sure I saw my dad smiling while he was spanking me. But I probably deserved it anyways. Still, as it says in verse 7 of chapter 12, what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Parents are supposed to correct their children when they make mistakes, hopefully so that child does not make the same mistake twice. These next verses I'm about to read off, some kids might hate me for, for reminding their parents that they have complete authority and that they should be disciplining their children. But trust me, fellow kids, it's something that we need to be done to us. Over in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13 and in verse 24. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Parents, sometimes you need to set an example for your children. Set them straight when they mess up. I like how it points out to discipline him promptly. Discipline him immediately after he's messed up, so they understand that what they did is wrong. If you wait, it just defeats the whole purpose. The quicker you act when they mess up, it shows how much that you care about them. They're able to see that you actually do love them, and they'll be able to know that you strongly disapprove of what they did. Don't let us kids go on thinking what we did was right. The sooner you correct us, the sooner we'll get that changed in our minds. A couple chapters over in Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22 and in verse 15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. When I was a child, I mean, I was slightly foolish. Okay, I was very foolish at times. And my parents took this verse to heart, I think. They thought the more that they beat me with the rod, the less foolish I would become. And it seemed to work, though, because once you are struck with that pain for doing something the first time, it definitely makes you think twice about doing that the second time. I mean, the rod does its job well. One more chapter over, Proverbs chapter 23 and in verse 13. Proverbs 23, verse 13. Do not withhold correction from a child. For if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. I can barely read this verse without laughing or smiling. I remember reading this when I was in my teens and saying, oh boy, do I feel sorry for my kids. They're going to have this verse memorized at an early age. They're going to know that no matter what or what I beat them with, I mean, they're not going to die. And they're just going to have to suck it up. And I read this verse to my mom the other night, and she just laughed, and she's laughing and saying, that's so true. And she's like, we beat you guys, and look, you're still alive today. So I'm the perfect example of how this verse is true. I'm still alive after all those times I was beating. But on a more serious note now, in verse 14, the real meat on the bone in this passage. Verse 14. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. Do not withhold correction from your kids. Because by beating your children, for all you know, you might be saving their soul. Maybe this punishment that you just delivered, as much as it broke your heart to do, maybe that was the blow your child needed to know that, you know, what I'm doing is wrong. Maybe you might have just saved your own kid's soul. This is so important to remember how big of an impact parents can make on their children's lives. Maybe by doing something like disciplining your child, not letting them go hang out with friends, so much as it may break your heart to do, that you might be saving your own kid's soul. All those nights I wanted to go hang out with my friends, and I knew that they might be drinking. I knew that they were probably smoking. I still wanted to go. But my parents weren't stupid. They knew that they were probably doing that stuff too. And they didn't let me go. And at the time, I thought, those rules were so stupid. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to smoke. They just don't want me to have any fun while I'm in high school. But they were trying to help me. They were looking out for me. Even if it meant denying me of what I wanted to do. It finally makes sense over in Hebrews chapter 12. Look over the passage again. Hebrews chapter 12. Focusing on verses 5 and 6. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. I used to think, if my parents truly loved me, how could they discipline me? How could they spank me? If they say they love me, how could they inflict me so much pain? But now I see that they didn't want to do that, but they did it because they loved me. Their love and obedience for God, how they followed God after what He commanded them to do, to discipline their children, to discipline me when I did wrong, rather than to follow what I wanted to do, because I surely didn't want to get punished at all. I mean, no child likes to get spanked. My parents knew that as much as they loved me, they needed to follow what God had commanded them to do by disciplining me, rather than to baby me and let me get away with it for just this one time. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 and in verse 37. Verse 37 of Matthew chapter 10 reads, He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. That is how deep our love for God should be. Out of close to the 7 billion people on this planet, I don't love anybody more than my parents. But yet, I love God more than them. And I know that they love God more than me. And that's how it should be. That's how much and how deep our love for God should be. And by them following God instead of what I wanted them to do, they really set a good example for me. I'm now starting to see the philosophy of my parents' parenting style. Some things I may not agree with at times, but I do agree with that no matter what, they made sure that God was going to be number one in my life. And I'm forever grateful for that, that I was so blessed to have two strong Christian parents and two strong Christian siblings as well. A perfect example of how big of an impact parents can make, continuing on from generation to generation. Parents, your children look up to you. They want to be just like you when they are little. Even in their teens, they admire you, although in that time age, they may not show it all the time. I don't want you to think, like I said earlier, that I'm trying to tell you how you should parent, because that's not what I'm trying to get across at all. It's just that you play such a huge impact in your kids' life. You may not be able to live your life, to live your kids' life for them, but the boundaries and limitations that you set for your kids, you can set them in the right direction that they should be going. That doesn't mean they're always going to follow it. As sad as that may be, I met numerous kids that are preachers' sons and daughters, but yet they fell away. I want to make sure that you realize that, so that you are doing everything to help your child. Help them out so that they can walk in the path of God and not be a stumbling block unto them. Because hopefully if you train your child right, when they are older, they will not depart from it. And that's what I want you guys to take away from this lesson, that if you train your child upright, when they are older, they will not depart from it. At this time, though, maybe in your life you haven't been living as you should be. You've been giving in to temptation and just not living the life of a Christian. Or maybe you're yet to be baptized and would like to put on Jesus, put on the new man and become baptized. I invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing the song selected.